Hi, welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Voss. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, and language, and share stories from our listeners. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll encourage you to dig deeper to learn about your Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll have thought-provoking conversations and share resources. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Welcome to this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. We are here today with some very special guests, Meredith and Jason from Steel City Chimneys in Pennsylvania. Steel City Chimneys is a food truck that makes Kötterskalács, or more commonly known in the U.S. as chimney cakes. So welcome, Meredith and Jason. Jason, let's talk a little bit about where you are based and a little about your lives.
Well, we're based in Greensburg, which is about an hour east of Pittsburgh. We've been here about 5 years with our cats, as you can hear.
They're around.
We started Steel City Chimneys in 2016, and we go all around the Pittsburgh area. We go into Ohio, some West Virginia, you know, anywhere in Western Pennsylvania, and anywhere within reasonable driving distance, basically. I'm a practicing attorney, so we mainly do the food truck for ethnic festivals, farmers markets, events, you know, those kind of events. So that's kind of the general overview.
Okay. And Meredith, I understand you have some Hungarian background.
I do. It's kind of interesting. My mother's side is fully Hungarian. I was exposed to a lot of it growing up, but in a subtle manner. You know, I knew what foods were Hungarian. I've had palacsinta. My grandma made pastries with the cottage cheese and dill filling that, you know, that's not common to the United States.
Right.
But it's not something that my parents really talked about or, you know, it wasn't, you should be proud of your heritage. It wasn't like that. It was, you know, more subtle, kind of like an undertone. And I have a kind of funny story here that I think will make the point of how my relationship with Hungarian culture or Hungarian roots is formed. You know, my grandma used to call on the telephone and I'd answer and she would say what I thought, you know, I'm a little kid here. I thought she was saying Mickey Mouse. And I, you know, it was sort of weird because it was like, you know, is grandma going weird? Is this some kind of code? I just didn't understand what she was saying. So, you know, and I'd always try to make an excuse to get out of the situation. So it would be like, Mom, grandma's on the phone, you know, okay, next. Fast forward 35 years later, we're taking Hungarian lessons as part of doing chimney cakes. And we sit down and the instructor's teaching and she says, Mitchie Naus. And I have this instant connection, like grandma wasn't losing it or stroking out. She was asking me, what are you doing?
Nor was she just a huge Disney fan.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, there's a Hungarian background there, but it was definitely kind of under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
But it was enough to get me to Hungary. So, you know, and then it exploded from there.
Aha. Well, I think that's a great story about, you know, hearing the language, but not even knowing what you're hearing. And of course, she said it all the time. But so she just kind of figured you must have known what was going on. But, you know.
I literally had no idea. I thought she was, you know, just like, okay, grandma's being sort of strange, you know, but yeah, but it was a real, really cool moment. Like I said, 35 years later to have that, I knew instantly when I heard it, that's what she was saying.
Ah, that's very cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's kind of fun. Jason, what about you? What's your background? I know it's not Hungarian. So how'd you get mixed up in all this and where are you from?
Well, I'm from Southern Alabama. Mobile, about as far down as you can go before you hit water. And I basically knew nothing about Hungary or anything Hungarian until probably the last 10 years or so. I knew there was such a thing as Hungary, but that was about the extent of it. When I met Meredith, she introduced me to the joys of all things Hungarian, which I'm very grateful for, and I wish it happened a lot earlier in my life.
Well, just think, you know, you probably weren't dreaming about having a food truck that had a, you know, when you were younger, that's not what you were necessarily thinking of, but it's opened up your eyes to a whole new world.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't have dreamed about it because I didn't know it existed. So,
so where did you guys end up meeting?
We met in law school, actually, at Florida State. It was 2001, I think. You know, back in '01. Yeah, so we met. We both went to Florida State, and we actually lived in Florida, of course, through law school, and then after that, for about 10 years up until, well, we left for a little while and went back. So we lived there for about 10 years before we came to Pittsburgh and started the food truck.
Okay. And so you guys went, you went to Hungary at some point, and that's where you met the Chimney Cakes?
Yes.
Or did, okay.
Yes. We finally traveled to Hungary in 2012. I had wanted to go forever. Like I said, there was enough heritage there to have planted a seed, and finally convinced Jason that it was necessary for us to go, and got there, tried chimneys. I could talk forever about travel in Hungary, but that would be a whole separate podcast. Went back multiple times to Hungary, have been to the Hungarian part of Romania, Transylvania, multiple times. And that's sort of how the chimney obsession grew. We just started trying them. Every little, you know, hut, roadside stand, it was like, oh, we have to try that one. And as you know, they're all slightly different. And, you know, it was kind of our goal to see how many we could eat. You know, we acted like we were doing it for scientific research purposes, but it was really an excuse to just stuff ourselves. So we've tried them everywhere, little ones, big ones, you know, that's, and we got obsessed, and somewhere along the line, I wanted an exit from practicing law, figured that this would be something we could do. I thought, oh, making one product will be very easy, or just one item, that, which I later learned that, you know, I was a little wrong on that, but that was sort of how it started.
And so did you didn't grow up with chimney cakes at all?
No.
Okay. So it wasn't until you went over, that's where you first.
Right. And strangely, you know, we're not big bread eaters. It's just not something that we had. I remember discussing like, oh, should we even try this? But it smelled so good. It was kind of like, we're on vacation, you know, now or never, might as well. And then it was delicious. I mean, all baked goods in Europe, I think, are better, but you know,
there's something
very, very special about it. And, you know, a lot of times you indulge, you eat something unhealthy, and then you feel your stomach gets ill later. That wasn't the case with chimneys. You know, it's just it's a perfect product.
Yeah. And we had no, like, neither of us has any baking background at all. Like, this okay. was our first foray into the baking world.
Like, you guys went big.
Yeah. I could not have told you the first thing about baking before we started doing this. So it was a real experience.
So with your law degrees, I mean, that's kind of, you guys did law stuff before, and you're still doing law stuff now, Jason, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I've escaped.
Yeah, when we moved here, she said, you get to be the lawyer.
until you have chimney cakes coming out your ears, and then...
Yeah.
Okay, so why did you decide to open a Kutush Kalach truck? You know, it's one thing to love chimney cakes. And it's one thing to have a lot of them when you're on vacation and kind of indulge. But it is clearly another level of commitment when you get a food truck and you commit to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just thought they were awesome. And the other angle of it is when we moved to Pittsburgh, we thought this is something that would be a great fit for Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh has this Eastern and Central European culture to it. You know, even now, it's the Pittsburgh, you know, people in Pittsburgh are so influenced by their immigrant ancestors who came over to work in the steel mills and the mines and whatever. And we just thought, you know, this would just fit right in with that kind of cultural milieu. It was a perfect thing for that. And, you know, we've talked before about, you know, the kind of the fading of these kind of traditions and stuff. And we just thought it would be something good that would kind of bolster those traditions and kind of maybe, you know, help remind people of their history and how their grandparents and great grandparents, you know, their traditions, their cultures, and just kind of like make a contribution to that, because, you know, I do think a lot of that is fading away, and it's kind of sad. You know, a lot of people are losing that connection. And I think, you know, doing the chimney cakes was just, you know, we thought people would really like them, everybody, but, you know, also it has that angle to it of kind of being this connection to Central Europe, Eastern Europe, you know, and where a lot of the people from Pittsburgh originated.
It's much easier to introduce something with a pastry than to write an article or something like that. You know, we can get a wide audience to preach Eastern European heritage with a chimney.
Sure, for sure. I mean, because it's the taste experience that people have. And it would seem you're in a unique position, because some people don't even know about Göttersch Kalach as a part of their heritage. So you get to introduce people to it. But then you're going to have another level of people that are going to come that know about it, or they've been to Hungary or Transylvania and they've tasted it, you know. So it seems like there's a lot of different ways to connect with people.
Oh, yeah.
But all over these chimney cakes.
Yeah, we've met a lot of Hungarian people in this area through doing the chimney cakes, because when they find out about us, they're usually excited about it because it's something from home. Mm-hmm. And they like to come, and, you know, it's always fun to talk to them and meet them. And then, you know, the other group of people who tend to kind of gravitate to it is, you know, people who like to travel, who like to go to Hungary and Slovakia and these places, and they'll come up to us and say, oh, I had these in Budapest or wherever. And then that leads into a conversation, and, you know, you can usually make a new friend that way, because you have this shared experience. And it's usually this, you know, everybody has a good memories of going to Hungary, you know, so
sure.
There's that group of people too. So that's always nice.
So what has the reception been like in Pittsburgh? You know, you said that there's kind of a base there of people, but have you been well received?
About a week in after our first event ever, we were in the local grocery store, and, you know, we're checking out, and we have people point, and they ran up to us and they were like, look, it's the chimney people. And this was the first week.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Like it's grown way more than I ever anticipated. I thought that it was going to be a sort of, you know, weekend hobby business. But I'm grateful. It's really taken off. We've met a lot of people, you know, Hungarian, native Hungarians, people who just like food. It's been very well received.
And what kinds of things? So you do, I mean, when there's festivals, you do festivals. Because I met you at a Hungarian picnic in Ligonier, Pennsylvania at the Bethlen home. And then we would see you in Toledo at the Birmingham Ethnic Festival there. So I've seen you at festival kinds of events, but you do other things too. What other kinds of things do you do?
Well, before COVID, we did a lot of catering. We'd do weddings and that sort of thing, corporate events. This year, it's been interesting. We've had a chance to go into markets where we might not have, you know, might have had an ethnic festival booked and might not have been able to go to a neighborhood. We've done a lot of housing plans, a total different introduction to a different audience. So it's
Gotta love that cat. Yeah.
He wants to give his input.
That's right. He says, they leave me all the time.
He's not a fan so much.
Is there a standard place that people can find you in Pennsylvania that you are regular at, or are things still kind of up in the air at the moment?
Well, this year it's up in the air a lot, and we've just mainly we post on our social media where we're going to be on the weekends. You know, we usually post sometime in the middle of the week where we're going to be on the weekend. In normal times, we do go to Ligonier when they're having their country market during the summertime. It runs from, I think, May to October normally, or May through September. We're usually there once a month. We go to the Johnstown Slavic Festival. The best thing, if anybody is interested in finding where we are, is just to look us up on our social media, because we always post where we're going to be. And just, you know, being mobile and doing different events, we tend to be all over the place.
And so we'll make sure we include those in the show notes so that people know where to find you and they can follow you and pay attention to where you guys are, especially as things open up, as we hope they will in the future, then people can be paying attention to where you are and find you. So you guys were lawyers and you embark on this adventure of the food truck. Do you have any interesting stories from either meeting people or from, you know, just kind of getting started in this whole new way of doing things?
Well, yeah, a lot of wacky stuff has happened. Let's see. Well, right off the bat, you know, like we were talking about off the air before we started recording, when we order our trailer, we had to have it custom made because they don't make, you can't buy a used food truck that has a setup for chimney cakes because nobody makes them. So we had to basically design it ourselves and have it made. And we called all around these different places and ended up getting it from a place in Georgia. Had to get, you know, order it online, go through it with the guy and everything. And so I had a Chevy Tahoe at the time, and I said, well, that'll pull any kind of trailer just about, you know. And so I think it took maybe 6 weeks for the trailer to be finished or something.
Oh, that's pretty fast.
It was like maybe 6 or 8 weeks. But we didn't have a lot of, we don't have a lot of the usual stuff that a food truck has. So it's probably maybe a little faster. But so the guy calls me and he says, hey, your trailer's ready. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, by the way, how much does that thing weigh? And I, you know, the Chevy Tahoe that I had like a 5,000 pound towing capacity. And I said, well, how much does that thing weigh? You know, he goes, 6,000 pounds. I said, what? So we had them hold on to it actually for about a month, I think, while we scrambled to try to find a vehicle that would pull it. And finally we just told them, hey, deliver it. I think we paid them to deliver it up here. They brought it to our house and the guy parked it in front of our house and it sat there for like 3 months while we tracked down a vehicle to pull it. So, right, we got off to a good start there right off the bat.
I mean, there were kind of a lot of things that, you know, at the time they seemed to be frustrating snags, but looking back, it was part of the fun. I mean, we took lessons when we decided we were going to do this. We went back to Europe to take lessons on how to actually make the product. And we thought that we understood really well, you know, okay, our dough looks good. We understand this. We get back to the United States and, you know, like I said, we're not chefs. We realized at that point that flour in Europe is very, very different than flour in the United States, as is yeast. They use a lot of fresh yeast here. That's hard to find here. And then you don't know if it's, you know, old or still good when you do find it. So I would say it took us, after taking lessons, probably a good 3 months of making chimney cakes in our house. You know, thankfully, we didn't set anything on fire with the grill in our house to get the recipe, you know, how we wanted it. And Jason here, literally, he had to have eaten hundreds. I mean, because we didn't want to waste dough. And it was just kind of like, okay, we have another batch. I mean, you would open the door to our house and like the smell would just come out. I mean, we still like them. It's all good. But it's, you know, I don't think we realized that baking is an exact science, and it's not like cooking where you can, you know, a little pinch of this and a little pinch of that. But you know, it's fun now. It's a good story. At the time, it was a little frustrating, but looking back, it's all good.
Well, you know, I guess that's a part of the learning process. But I mean, now you guys have got to be pros. I mean, there can't be too many people that can make Kurtus Kalach like you guys do, because you just, you have the experience. You put the time in.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we hope.
And they're delicious. I've had a few. They're very good.
We didn't pay her to say that.
No, not at all. So people can find you on your, Facebook. What else?
We're on Instagram also.
Okay, Facebook and Instagram. So we'll make sure that we include those in the show notes. And is there anything else that you could think of that we should?
Oh, just, you know, anybody who's listening that can't look at the show notes, it's just Steel City Chimneys on Facebook and Instagram. So if you Google Steel City Chimneys, we're the first thing that comes up.
Okay, so that's a nod to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because of, it's a steel city. And then, okay, good. All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with me today and giving our listeners some great stories and great cat behavior. Now, we appreciate that we had an opportunity to visit with you. I miss seeing you guys. You know, it's always fun to get together when we are in the same place at the same event. But, you know, this year it's not to be. So it was good to visit with you on the podcast. And hopefully things will settle out and everybody can resume back to something more normal in the future.
He's meowing in Hungarian, by the way. No.
I just love that your grandma would say Michi Nelson. You thought it was Mickey Mouse. That's awesome. All right. Well,
let us say thanks for having us on the podcast. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank Glad you to be so here. Much.
Well, I think it's fun for people to meet these different creative ways of expressing Hungarian heritage. So.
And I would encourage anybody, if they have the opportunity to travel to Hungary, it will pay back major dividends.
Yes, I definitely agree. I love to visit there, and I can't wait till we all get back there. Hungarian Living is a division of Mudyar Marketing, the Hungarian store, where you can find meaningful gifts with Hungarian style. Check us out at mudyarmarketing.com. And special thanks to Steven Cicek and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Hungarian Living, please subscribe and share this podcast with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@hungarianliving.com. We'll catch you next time.